thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. And we thank God for being a Savior that's more precious to us than all of Earth's friendships ever can be. Today we're going to be ever so mindful to continue to pray for those that were in the path of Hurricane Harvey. And even though it's over, there's disease, there's all kinds of things that affect those individuals that are out there. I think they passed, the Congress passed an $8 billion relief bill just to try to help relieve some of the hardships that they're going through. Amen. We have many of our churches in the PAW that are in that area, many families, and the head, Bishop Charles Ellis, did send out a request for all churches to send money to the headquarters in Texas of the PAW to try and assist all of those churches, all those church members. Amen. So we are going to send something. We haven't determined yet, but can we at least pray for them? Amen. We pray for them, and I thank God for all the testimonies. Sister Ashley, we all have been to secondhand stores. Amen. Amen. I'll go to a secondhand store today. Amen. I'm not too proud. Amen. Because everything you buy after you take it home becomes secondhand. Amen. So once you own it for a little while, it's be what? Secondhand. Amen. Amen. And years ago, I was surprised to see millionaires going to those secondhand stores. Amen. You know why they're millionaires? Because they spent their money wisely. Amen. So you don't have to, just because everybody else buy a $500 pair of sneakers, you don't have to buy a $500 pair of sneakers. All the sneakers in my whole life haven't added up to $500 yet. And they never will. Because I don't have to buy by the trend. I just buy what I need. But we bless the Lord, and don't ever be ashamed of where God takes you. Because God will only let you stay there for a little while. Because in his favorite life, we can may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How many know we got joy in the morning? And Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And he didn't come for us to have cheap life. The problem in church is we say a lot cheap. He said, I come that you might have life, but I came that you might have life how? More abundantly. And how many know if I don't get it on this side, we're getting it on the other side.
The
third chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together of Exodus. Amen. I'm saying that the Lord chose me. Amen. The scripture said we did not choose him, and he chose us. And what I like about the God that we serve is we didn't know what was going to be today, but the scripture said he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chose us when? In him. Before the foundation of the world. But then he did give us some conditions that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he chose us when he didn't expect us to stay out of love. He didn't expect for us to stay unholy, but that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. If you love people, the Bible says love will do what? Cover a multitude of sin. How many of y'all have a lot of scriptures for when we get started? So yesterday, there's a little girl, and this little girl just kept talking to me. I was like, little girl, what's up? And the little girl kept talking, and I said to myself, so what's it in your cup? So I was doing something. She's like, oh, well, let me help you. And she, I'm telling you, ladies can talk. They start dirty rolling. Oh, I'm not sorry. Sorry, ladies. Ladies can't talk. Little girls can talk. But Brenda said, ever since he created woman. she talked. I was like, wow. They said, oh, yeah, I want to help you. I said, you know what? I'm going to be nice as this little girl. You know what? Because God called us in love. So we're not supposed to just respect old, but we're supposed to respect God. So she helped me tear up the boxes. She said, well, can I put this in? I said, he can do whatever he wants. And you know what? Children want to be appreciated as well. Like so many times, adults tend to put kids aside. I don't mistreat children because I felt when I was a child mistreated. So when I was a child in this street, I purposed in my mind, I'll never do that to a child. Amen. And like I said, I've dealt with childs that have had mental challenges, they've had hardships, but I don't treat them no different. Because in God's eyes, we're all the same. Love of covering. We need to show more love and more concern, not just for the old, but for the young. Amen. Even little children. That's why all the little babies, I get along with most of them. Every once in a while, I run into a challenge. But I get along with most of them because a child's love is the most pure love you ever find. A child's love is the more pure love you ever find. Parents, people can mistreat a child, but they will always come back and love you. So we need to show more love. It starts with the young, but it also goes to the old. Remember when they were trying to bring children to Jesus? Jesus said, I stopped. He said, don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. It starts with a child. So adults, show some appreciation. Don't be so short-patient in dealing with children. Amen. We were at a concert 2 weeks ago, and I had a fight with my hand. I only got one right leg. And I had my two grandchildren fighting to be on the same way. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Because they both wanted to sleep on the right leg the same way. I said, well, one of y'all goes to grandma. I said, no, we want to be on the same right leg. So I dealt with it. You know why? Because love is something we have to show. I can't be ugly and mean because it's a child. So please, parents, adults, love children. Amen. Even if they aren't your own, I love everybody's child. Even that little 5-year-old boy that was with other kids yesterday. Amen. He was just so enthused. And he thought he was working so hard. I'm so glad that other kids let him have right. The guy was big. I said, how old are you? He said, 5. The other kids said, 5. But we're supposed to love children. Nevertheless, let's go to the scripture. Amen. Don't mistreat children. The Bible says, Jesus said, God dispatches angels to watch over children. So every time you mistreat a child, that angel is watching over that child. And God is holding you accountable. So be kind, be nice. First one, of Exodus chapter 3 reads, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, God, draw not thy hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where I'm not standing is holy ground." That's good enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we bless you today. Lord, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the direction that you're leading the church. Lord, we thank you that we relinquish leadership control and we give it to thee. Lord, we ask you to lead us. Lord, we ask you to guide us. Lord, we ask you to order the steps of our church. Lord, for you are our CEO, and where you lead us, we will follow. Lord, we ask you to be with us on this afternoon. Lord, speak a word to our hearts. Lord, speak a word to our mind. And for this, we thank you in the church today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. If we ever get some apostolic preachers up here around town, y'all can't keep turning these keepers down. Right? You know, I saw it, right? I was in a church, my time was so loud, he said, all your people keep turning me down all the time. Y'all, we all turn me down, it makes it harder. That means I have to speak louder to hear myself, so please don't turn me down. Leave me where just the ones. You can turn me down that way, but don't turn me down this way. All right? Y'all make it harder, but I can't hear myself. Amen? So let us go back. I was at a church one time, and I said, man, how much louder do you want to be? I ain't trying to be loud, I just want to be able to hear myself without using what voice I don't have. Yeah. Alright, so y'all help me out, okay? Amen. I know y'all got that stuff in y'all ears, y'all gotta get this up out. Alright, but that's not the best idea, because I heard everything good, and all of a sudden I was going like this. By the time y'all finish, I was about to put on my hearing aids. Amen. That's a good idea. Alright, now let's go back to the scripture for which we're going to get our talk. Amen. We're going to read verses 2 through 4 together. Amen. 2 through 4. It reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked." Thank you. "And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." So God got Moses' attention. Because remember, Moses was there 40 years in Midian, out of the land of Egypt, and he had seen these great marvels of the magicians. But he seen the bush burn, but he never seen the bush that burned that was not being consumed. Amen. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." So our message today is the Lord has been trying to get your attention. The Lord has been trying to get your attention. Now, how many times did he call Moses? He said, "Moses, Moses." So the Lord was trying to get his attention. Turn to the person next to you and ask, "Is this your second call?" God's been calling you. He's been trying to get your attention. which we have over shortly. God called them twice. Five of those individuals went on to be great spiritual leaders in all Israel and the church because the Lord was able to get their attention. Today I wonder, who has God already called? Who has God been trying to get their attention when they still have not yet responded to the call of the Lord? The Lord is calling, and I was preparing. The Lord took me back to when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah and told Lot, he said, get your family out of this place because I'm about to destroy. How do you know eventually the Lord is going to come?
Yes.
Amen. And he's going to take those back that are called by his name. Eventually the Lord is coming back. So he's sending out a message trying to get our attention. And he told the Lord, he said, get yourself and your family out of this place because I'm going to destroy it. That was the first call. So Lot went out to his family to try to get them, to explain to them, just like we do so often, the Lord is coming back. You need to turn your heart to God. You need to give God your heart. He said, but when he went out, he was in one, they mocked him. They didn't even consider anything that Lot said. And Lot had an emotional attachment to that place. Not because of the place, but because of his family. Right. So the Bible said, while Lot lingered, he wouldn't move for God. Even though God had called him the first time, he wouldn't move. I wonder today, has God called anybody? But you're still in a place where you like to be because of whatever the attachment is. You've got complacent where you are, but how many know God has been calling you? Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So Lot lingered, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord had to get a hold of Lot and forcibly take him out of the city because he didn't realize the destruction that was coming. So God called Lot, had to do it twice, even though it wasn't a double call. God had to call him twice. I wonder today, has God called any of us twice? Has God done anything to get our attention? Hallelujah. So let's go a few things before we get into the individuals. Amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to take Sunday to use as a teaching moment because I think the Bible says wisdom is a principal thing. Get wisdom. But in all my getting, get an understanding. So it's so important that we as the people of God not just hear, but we also understand. Amen? So the Lord used a double call to get the attention of six people as we went over. A double call implies extreme importance. Or that God is urgent, he's about to do something. When he does a double call. Amen? It also means that God is about a or God is trying to take you out of a dangerous situation. But God can't help you if you can't receive it again, perceive and perceive that he's trying to get your attention. We get so complacent. Hallelujah. I know God is calling me, as I said on Wednesday night. I know the Lord spoke to me 20 years before I left where I was at. But I got comfortable where I was at. But the Lord, you know why? He was trying to get my attention. Amen. A double call also means that God has a call or a thing, something, a God is trying to get you to see things His way. those that didn't come in, we ought to do it again so somebody else can learn. But Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own.
Because he said, you're ready.
He said, you're ready now. He said, I'm going to send The Lord is trying to get your attention. He's trying to get your attention. But has he called you twice? Is this your second call? Abraham is another one that the Lord called twice. Let's go to Genesis 22, verses 9 through 12, and verses 15 through 18. Right? The Lord called Abraham twice. And the reason the Lord called Abraham twice is because he wanted to see if some stuff was in Abraham that needed to come out. And if you read in that first verse, it says that the Lord tempted Abraham, or he was proving or testing Abraham because he wanted to know what was in his heart. That's verse one. God tempted him. He said, you know what, Abraham? I want to know if you love your son more than me. So the Lord sent him on a mission just to see if he would be obedient. Just like he sent Moses to the backside of a desert just to see if he'd be obedient. Verse 9 reads, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay the child. And the angel, thank you, Lord, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, he finally got Abraham's attention. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. All the stuff that Abraham went through. And God gave him a final test. He said, I'm going to give you one last test. I know you've been through some ups, you've been through some downs, you've been through hardship, you've been through trials, you've had things going right, you've had things going wrong. He said, but I'm going to give you one more test. And with all that you've been through, hey, Bill, I like that song. I told this lady that the other day, she was telling us all she went through, but she looked pretty good. I said, I'm so glad you don't look like what you've been through. Right? A lot of us have been through some stuff. But aren't you so glad that you don't look like what you've been through? Because God was a sustainer and God was a keeper. So Abraham goes through all these hardships and blessings and answers. God had given him so much. But God said, I got you one more test. I wonder if there's one more test. And in our lives, that God's going to use to see what do we love more. I wonder if there's one more test that God's going to permit you to go through to see whether you love Him more than anything. Hallelujah. I said if there's one more test that you're going to go through to see if you love God more than anything. Verse 12 says, He said, lay not thine hand upon the land. Neither do thou anything on the earth. Now I know that thou
one of those situations that I've been working a lot of hours. So I got to know the bridge. So we can't. You don't need to know the details behind the hours. Just believe me, I'm sorry. I was coming across a big landmine, and I literally fell asleep. Coming across the bridge. I was headed for the wall. Jesus. Oh, I died. And God said,
Yeah.
speech. Don't make up excuses. Just do it.
Yes.
If God says get baptized and I can't understand it, just get baptized.
Yes.
He knows what to do.
Yes.
So I don't know how to get the Holy Ghost. Just go try. Surrender all. Yes. Relinquish. Stop holding back. Just say, Lord, I surrender all.
Yes.
You know the song? Lord, I surrender all. All to thee, I freely give.
Yes.
How many of us today can surrender all? If we go to Luke, the 10th chapter, our last account was Martha. Remember that the scripture said that Jesus went into the house of Martha and Mary. And Martha was busy working in the house. But Mary, she just said it to hear his words. Something about the name of Jesus. Something about the word. So finally, Martha, like a lot of people do in churches, she's going to get the parishes. She said, I'm working. And she just listen to Jesus at his feet. So she went to Jesus. Keep up with the chart. She went to Jesus and said, Master, care thou not that my sister has left me to serve all alone? She said, don't you care that I'm doing all this work and all she's doing is sitting at your feet, listening to your words? The Lord looked at me and said, Martha, Martha. He said, you got a whole lot of issues and a whole lot of problems. You got a lot of anxiety. You got a whole lot of stuff going in you for whatever the reason is. She said, but there's one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen that one good part which shall never be taken away from her. You know what that double call said? Martha, Martha, forget about the words. You need to get in the word. So in the final call, how many is God trying to get you to stop doing so much work? And get in the word.
Yes.
Because that's the one good thing, as we all see, that shall never be taken away from you. He said, my word shall abide to the end. Amen. The word of God. You have to love it. You have to cherish it. That's the only thing that will never be taken away from you. The scripture said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word. That's the one good thing. So God is trying to get somebody's attention today. But is this your second call? If you surrender to God, if you say yes, God, yes to your will, and yes to your way. Now a lot of people will say yes to his will, but they want to do it their way. Say yes to his will and well, can we say this together? Yes to his will and yes to his way. You know what I said? Lord, I remove myself. I get out of the way. Because the song said, Lord, any way you bless me, Lord, any way you use me, I'll be satisfied.